From Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 17, it says, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.'" Repent. A word that I hope is familiar from last week. It continues, verse 18, "As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen." I'm glad we have that explanation. Otherwise, who are these crazy guys casting a net into a lake? "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." You know, every great adventure book, every good comic book, every great action movie, it has that point. It has that scene. And I thought of at least a billion that I could show this morning from a movie. But you've read it in a book. You've read it if you read comics. You've seen it in movies if you watch movies. And if not, I don't know. But there's that portion. There's that part. There's that instance where the main character or characters have to decide. It's the point in a Western where the lead comes in and says, "I'm rounding up a posse," right? And the others get to decide if they're in for whatever the posse is about to do. It's the heist job films where they're going to have the perfect robbery, but they need a team to pull it off, and one at a time they seek out the people who have various talents and gifts, and are you going to be in on this job? It's Luke Skywalker choosing whether or not he will leave his desert farming planet to go and join the rebellion. Every good story has that moment. It has that almost pause in the narrative where the person gets to stop and say, "Am I going to go? Will I be a part of this?" And you know that moment also. I'm certain of this, that you've had moments already, that you will have moments, that you're familiar with what I'm talking about. Now, maybe you've never gotten to leave your planet to go join a rebellion. I hope you have that experience someday. But you have those moments. You have those moments where you get a choice. And we all get choices. And I read somewhere that we get like 100,000 choices that just happen each day, that we make a decision, but they're so small and so routine, we don't notice. And those matter. Like, if you make the choice to let go of the steering wheel while you're driving, okay, those matter, but I'm talking about the big choices that come along, and they're not every day, and they're not defined by a specific place, and they're not defined by a specific time, and they're not defined even by a specific group of people. In fact, they don't happen every day. You can't name when or where, but you've had those moments where you get a choice, where you can say, "Here's where I am. Here's where I was planning to go. But now there's this." I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what it has been for you. Maybe it was the time you had a friend ask if they could hook you up with someone. There's somebody they really think would be perfect for you, and you went, and you ended up marrying that person. That was one of those points. You could have been like, "That friend's an idiot." No. But you went. And something tremendous happened, or a blind date, similar thing, or maybe it was a lecture or a seminar. I've heard from a couple of you already who have told me that changed my life. I went to X, Y, or Z, and it changed my life. You had the opportunity to go. "I don't know if I want to take the time. I want to pay for that." "Oh, you're going to pay for it still. I'm not into credit." You have that opportunity, and maybe that lecture, that seminar, that message, it touched your heart, and it changed your life. Maybe it was when you decided to root for a real team instead of the Chicago Bears. You're like, "Wow, the NFL, it can be fun. I was cheering for the wrong team the whole time." You know who you are. Maybe it was when you made a bold career move. You had planned for, you had prepared for, you were ready for, and then this opportunity opened. Maybe it was a financial investment. You had money, you saw the right opportunity, you thought, "This is risky, but..." I don't know what it looks like for you, but at some point in your life, I'm willing to bet that you are where you are because you had one of those choices. Again, not the little everyday choices, but what may not have seemed like a huge choice at the time, yet at the same time, you can look back on it and say, "I was headed this way, and the choice came, I would never have imagined, now I'm moving this way. I would never have imagined it brought me here. I would never have imagined whatever happened because of that. Do you know what I'm talking about? For the younger people that are out there, maybe you haven't had that moment yet. Pay careful attention. Watch when you get choices. Think about when you have an opportunity, what that can do for you. However it looked for you, whatever form it came in, again, I'm certain that many of you have had that moment where there was a big choice in front of you. And again, maybe you didn't recognize it as a big choice at the time, but here's what you probably did recognize. You probably recognized to stay where I'm at is easier. If I'm here and I stay here, at least I know where I've been and where I'm going. That's easier. I bet you recognized when faced with a bigger choice that the more comfortable thing was to do what you know, whereas maybe that option represented the unknown. I don't like unknown. I'll stay with known. We all get that way. A lot of times we get that way. For many of you, you recognize that it may very well cost you something. Oh, heaven forbid, because the thing that we will fight for and scrap about and protect the most on earth is our wallet. Maybe it was going to cost you financially something. Many of you may not have recognized what that moment would do, but you can say without a doubt that it's easier, and it was easier looking back, or you can think forward, it will be easier to stay with what's known, with what's comfortable, with what I've always done, with what doesn't cost me, and you can choose to do that. But again, what does an opportunity hold? From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. I know I've said this before. Stay with me. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Underline. Highlight. Bold. Increase font. At once, they left their nets and followed him. This is what happened to these guys that were fishing as part of their daily routine, their job, what was comfortable, what they knew at the sea. Every day they go out and fish, and some of you are saying, "Yeah, it's a dream." But every day they go out and fish, and every evening I imagine they bring the fish and go back home, and Jesus comes by and says, "Come follow me," and they drop everything and they follow him. Going on from there, we're not done yet. Jesus saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately, they left the boat, and they left their father, and they followed him. Now, I know that I read part of that passage twice. I wanted to make sure that you heard the way that ended. Immediately, they followed him. But this is even more audacious if you hear it from Luke's account. Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your pews. Muster all your grit and listen to what happens in Luke's account. And I won't be held responsible for how you respond. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." We kind of jump into the middle of the story, but just that's what's going on. Same story, different perspective. In case you're not familiar, the Gospels were each written by someone who observed Jesus firsthand. But just like you and I, they didn't always see the same perspective. I read for you from Matthew's perspective. Matthew is saying, here's what happened. Luke is giving his perspective. Same basic story, but from his perspective, right? So he says, he saw Jesus saying to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch." Now here's what was going on. Simon answered, just to fill in the backstory. Master, we've worked hard all night, and we haven't caught anything, and I think the Bible cleaned up the language. But because you say so, and again, I think there's probably sarcasm implied with that, I don't know, but because you say so, we're going to let down our nets. And when they had done so, and when they did, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners from the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they nearly sank. Same basic story, new perspective. Here's what happened, and here's why I say it's bold and it's audacious. Jesus interrupted a fishing trip. Either account, he's calling these disciples. Either account, he's making an invitation. But I tell you what, if I've been on a boat for 2 hours, let alone all night, and somebody comes and says, "Hey, yeah, you might want to try," I don't want to listen. Moreover, I might have a few choice words for them. That's where Peter was. Jesus says, "Hey, cast your nets into deeper water." "Shut up! We haven't caught jack!" Smart guy. Yeah. Okay. Here you go. Dang. All I'm saying is that either way, these disciples had an incredible opportunity. In the second story, when they catch that amount of fish, Jesus says to them the same thing he says in Matthew, "Come and I will make you," I always like the translation, "I will make you fishers of men. Come and I will send you out to fish for people. Come, follow me. Come do what I'm doing. Stop the life that you're living right now and choose to follow me. You're not going to be as comfortable. You don't know what in the world comes next. It's going to cost you some time, and yep, there will be difficulties along the way. But look, come follow me." Jesus says, "Don't look over there. Don't talk. Don't go back. Nope. Come on. Trust me. Did you see all the fish you caught? Your boat almost sank. You're happy you made it to shore, aren't you?" "Absolutely. Fished all night, didn't catch it. I told you. Come and follow me. Come do what I tell you to do. Come and live your life for me." That's the invitation Jesus extends. And these people, if you can imagine, were standing in one of those moments that I was telling you about, where they could say, "No, thank you. We appreciate the fishing tip. Great idea. Someday, by the way, maybe you'll want to come up with the idea of plastic worms, Jesus, whatever." You know, it doesn't matter. They had the opportunity to say, "Here's where I'm at. Thanks for the offer, but here's where I'm going to stay." They had the opportunity to say, "That sounds pretty uncertain." They had the opportunity, if you will, to say, "And who are you again?" But they didn't. Ask me why they didn't. I don't know. But here's what I do know. Their lives were different because they chose the opportunity that was in front of them. An opportunity, in this case, that Jesus himself offered, but an opportunity that wasn't the known, the familiar, the safe, the least expensive. These people all had an opportunity just as I described to you, just like you find in a movie or a book or a comic, just like you said you've had before. And here's what I want you to know. Jesus stands before each of you and makes the same opportunity. Come follow me. And some of you would say, "I gave my life to Jesus Christ," and you can name the date, and you can name the place, and you can name the time, and I'm not talking about just giving your life to Jesus Christ for the first time. I'm talking about following in the footsteps of the greatest person the entire world has ever known, that opportunity. Jesus stands before you the same as he stood before these fishermen, and he says, "I want you to follow me. Come and follow me." I'll take you from where you are, and we will go someplace bigger and better and greater. I'm going to take you from your comfort, and I'm going to shake you, and you're going to go, what are you doing? But I'll show you something more. I'm going to take you from the life you know, and I'm going to show you a life that's bigger and better and holds more than you think you can hold, just like these fishermen and their nets and then their boats. Jesus says, I will give you life to the point that it's overflowing. I will give you life in your face. I will give you life like you haven't known life. You'll be so full of life, you aren't going to know what to do. But it starts by following me. And again, I'm not talking about just first time follow me. I'm talking about taking where you are now and saying, Jesus holds more for me, and I want that. Jesus called these fishermen. They left immediately. I'm not sure if it's the sense of time, if it's that aspect that was important, or if it's the sense of nothing stood in their way that was important. I don't know which way we're supposed to interpret that, but I do know as people, we are awesome at making excuses. Well, I'd love to, you know, go on a big, bold, courageous, I think God's been working in my heart, but I can't. Well, you know, I think maybe it's time that I started, and it'd be cool if I could, but I just don't have the time. Oh, it would be amazing. What if I think we could, but you know, that's going to cost a lot of money. And we are awesome at making excuses. And so when I see this passage and when I read it and when I hear Jesus calling these fishermen and whatever reason they decided to follow, I know they did not make an excuse. Jesus, we fished all night, so I'm taking this net, I'm folding it up, and I'm sticking it below the deck, and we're done. Jesus, I don't know who you are, and I'm not following you. Stranger danger. Jesus, I don't know where you're taking me, but I've got important things to do. They did not do that. And let me ask you a question, if I could. What happened with these set of brothers, with these fishermen, with these regular, ordinary people? What happened with these disciples when they said, I will follow you, Jesus? What happened with them? Have you read a little ditty we call the New Testament? Let me make it easier for you. Where are you this morning? You're in church and you are the church. Don't forget that. Why are you here? And don't tell me because of my car or because of a neighbor. You're here because these people said, I'll follow Jesus. You're here because Jesus was starting a movement, something radical and new, and he invited people into it. He said, I'm sent from God. I'm going to change hearts and lives. I want you to join. It's up to you. And because these first fishermen, these first ordinary people, these first disciples said yes, they got to see Jesus resurrected. They witnessed this firsthand. They got to see the birth of the church age, where people gathered in numbers to worship the risen Son of God. They got to see miracles happen around them. People turning from no religion whatsoever to a way of living that changed their lives. They got to see the birth of where we are today. They got to do more than they would ever imagine. Peter saw Jesus transfigured on a mountain so that he was glowing and blindingly white. They got to see these things. They got to do these things. They got to raise the dead. They got to heal people from whatever demons tormented them. They got to show them a new direction. They did all this because they said, all right. All right, I'll follow. What is God calling you to? I'm not asking, like, what is the divine call that was written on a scroll and when you got out of bed this morning was opened before you and in clear letters written in Hebrew and suddenly you could read Hebrew, said, here's what I have for you to do for the rest of your life. God's call doesn't work like that. I'm asking, what has God been calling you to? What is God calling you to? Is God calling you to make sure that you're here each and every Sunday? And then to go about your week? Or is there more than that? Is God calling you because there's something stirring in your heart, something you've been thinking, I can do this? Maybe there's someone that you're feeling, I should talk to them. Maybe you've got something bigger that's waiting and is brewing in you, and you say, but it's scary. I don't know if I can do that. That could cost me a whole lot. What is Jesus calling you to? I know that several of you prayed with me last week. You took the first line from this scripture and you said, I want to go a new direction. I want to repent of the old direction. I want to do a U-turn in my life. And you came and you prayed with me. That's not the end of the story. That's the beginning of a new story in your life. From there, Jesus calls you forward. I want to be absolutely clear about this. Jesus calls us to great things. Jesus doesn't just call us to do the little ordinary everyday things, though those are important. Jesus calls us to great things. I was at the Global Leadership Summit. That title sounds impressive, doesn't it? Okay. Series of speakers that meet for 2 days, and it's put on by Willow Creek. And if you follow, I don't know, what's that, religious news? Is that news? I don't know. If you follow what's been going on at Willow Creek, it's not good. Bill Hybels, the founding pastor, the lead pastor, he was accused of several, you know, allegations of sexual misconduct. I don't know if they're true. If they're untrue, that's not the point. Several of the speakers that were going to show up to this year's leadership summit backed out. Several of the members of the board there stepped back, and I was like, I bought a ticket for this. I hope it's worthwhile. And I went, and the opening speaker says, I had the opportunity a year ago to come and be here today. Has a very large network of churches. Was recently named in the top 500 CEOs to work for in the U.S. The opening speaker had a lot, and he said, I'll be honest, this is a difficult time for everyone. I had a difficult time knowing what to do, but I believe God called me to be here. In the midst of the controversy, in the midst of people pulling away, he said, I believe God called me to be here, and shared words that I can't vouch for everyone else, but made a difference to me personally. There was a song that I used to sing in Sunday school when I was growing up, and maybe you sang it too, and I'm not going to blister your ears with my singing voice, but there were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him, and it names the disciples. And the song ends like this. He has called us to. He has called us to. We are his disciples. I am one, and you. He has called us to. Jesus calls us to do great things in our life. And again, maybe being here in the church this morning is a step that you've not taken before, or you've just started taking, and that's beyond your comfort zone. And I say to you, welcome. I am glad that you're here. But I'll bet for many of you, it's beyond, again, I come to church here. It's bigger than that. Jesus stands before you and makes an open invitation. Follow me. Trust me. Look to me. We're going to go places. What is Jesus calling you to? Now, let me say this also. For those of you that attend here regularly and call this your home church, and this is family, for those of you in that situation, and if that's not you, dream away for the next few minutes, but listen. We closed, we finalized, we ended, we completed the sale of the other property that we've had. That happened on Friday, I believe. It is finished, it is through. I just got word that some of you are excited about that. And at the same time, I believe some of you are grieving that. One way or another, that is not the end of our story. That is the beginning of the question, what's next? That is the place from which Jesus calls Dyer United Methodist Church, will you follow me? If that was a dream at one point and for whatever reason it didn't happen, and I'm not going to get into the details because I don't know them. If that was the dream and the dream set sail, God didn't say, thanks, I'm out. I'm done. Do what you're going to do, but I'm done. Jesus doesn't walk away. Jesus calls you forward. So again, my question specifically for those of you that call this your church, and I am a part of Dyer United Methodist Church, Jesus is calling. And what will we do? Are we going to get a committee to guard the money and make sure it doesn't go anywhere on us? Because now we have that, and doggone it, it's safe here. And we touch that money. What do you do? You come for our money? Are we going to take that money and say, wow, there's an opportunity we've been talking about, and it's scary, and it moves us out of our comfort zone, and it's going to actually cost us, but we can do it? Are we going to listen and stop focusing on the property and say, Jesus, what are you calling us to? I hope that we do not insult God with small thinking and little ideas. My prayer is that you will ask, Jesus, I have been trying to listen. I openly invite you to call me. And maybe that prayer scares you to death. And maybe that's a prayer that you haven't prayed and it's unfamiliar. But I believe before each and every one of us in our own lives and before this church, Jesus stands calling. And we have that moment. We can choose what we know and stay where we're at and pledge to be exactly what we are. Or we can seek with a lot of trust and some uncertainty to put excuses and barriers behind and go forward and follow Jesus. So will you follow, will you trust, to put it in these terms, will you participate in life with the one who will lead you to the largest catch you've ever known? That's the question before you. Jesus is calling.